They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Answers Conversation. Normally at this point, you'd be hearing the voice of Steve Hamm with his wonderful Australian accent. But Steve cannot host today's program for an important reason. Steve is our guest. We're going to be starting a new series on theology and how one's belief in Genesis, one's view of Genesis, impacts various areas of theology. And today, Steve Hamm is our guest. I'm your host, Tim Chafee. I'm the content manager at the Ark Encounter. And today I want to interview Steve about the doctrine of perspicuity. Nice, big, fancy term there. Steve, welcome to today's program. Can you define what perspicuity is for us?
Yes, Tim, thank you. And, it's one of my favorite things to think about, the doctrine of perspicuity. Perspicuity really just means the see-through ableness of Scripture. So if you think of something like Perspex, for instance, it's something that you can see through, and Scripture really is we're able to see through, we're able to understand and see that Scripture is clear. In fact, we could just call it biblical clarity, if you like, and we can do that for the rest of this program. But it's a good thing for people to understand those terms that we are talking about, the doctrine of perspicuity, which means that the Bible actually really is clear in what it presents.
Okay, so the instead of saying perspicuity, we'll say biblical clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that every area of Scripture is easy to understand, that it's clear? Is that what you mean by that?
Well, I wouldn't use the term easy in every circumstance as if every single thing that we talk about is easy, but it is clear. So let me give you an example, Tim, and we can talk through this. For instance, let's throw out the Trinity. Now, some people would say, hey, the Trinity, that is not so easy to understand. In fact, that's sort of mind-blowing in one respect. But is the doctrine of the Trinity in Scripture actually clear? Well, does the Scripture say that the Father is God?
Yes.
Absolutely. And so it does about the Son, and so it does about the Spirit. And in fact, it says that there is only one God. So there is one God, three persons, same essence, and we get all of those facts by reading through Scripture. And we see that it is clear. So the doctrine is clear. It's just not as easy to understand as other doctrines.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent one to bring up. Another one would be like the hypostatic union of Christ, how he is both fully God and fully man. Both
mm-hmm.
those things are clearly taught in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
How we can put that together in our minds, how we can try to understand that maybe isn't so easy. And that's okay because he's God and we're not. He's going to have some things
yeah.
that we're just not going to be able to comprehend fully.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and it's clear that he is God. It's clear that we don't understand things.
Amen. So, Steve, why is this issue so important? Why the doctrine of perspicuity?
Because let's have a look at it. If the Bible isn't clear, well, if something's not clear, how can we know that it's even true? And so it really impacts other doctrines, such as the doctrine of biblical authority, inerrancy, infallibility, and if we go through and Scripture and we say, hey, I can't understand that this is somehow obscure, then it loses all of its aspect of authority, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does. If you can't understand it, then certainly it would lose its authority.
Mm-hmm. And really, particularly, and we're talking about Genesis today, it gives us an understanding as to whether this Scripture, this word is actually credible and reliable. I want to share a quote with you from a gentleman who I really highly respect. And by the way, in doing this, I would do it with fear and trepidation because I really do highly respect this man, Dr. D.A. Carson. There's sometimes that we have even our most favorite theologians and teachers that can say things that really do, as we shine a light of scripture on them, we have to say, well, you know what, I'm not with you on this one. And on this one, I'm not. He says this about Genesis, and it really impacts on the doctrine of perspicuity. Have a listen to what he says. I hold that the Genesis account is a mixed genre that feels like history and really does give us some historical particulars. Now, right there, we're together, okay, because he's saying that Genesis is clear there, isn't it? It feels like history and really gives us historical particulars that we can understand.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, however, it is full of demonstrable symbolism. Sorting out what is symbolic and what is not is very difficult. There is more ambiguity in the interpretation of these chapters than some Christians recognize. And so here's where it impacts on the authority issue. We're saying, oh, where is the ambiguity? The ambiguity is not in Scripture. The ambiguity for some people come in the interpretation. And what people have done is what he says next. He says, what I want to suggest to you is that however complex the debates over the symbolism and literary genre of Genesis 1 and 2, and however debated their relationship to contemporary science, there is an irreducible minimum that these chapters must be saying for the Bible to have any coherency at all. So he's saying that outside influences, people's secular historical science beliefs forcing them upon Scripture has, in Genesis particularly, has, you know, given rise to all sorts of debate about Genesis, and yet Genesis is the book that helps us understand the coherency and clarity of the rest of Scripture.
Right, so he even admits that it's foundational to all these other areas of theology, of doctrine,
mm-hmm.
and yet he's saying that it's not 100% clear what we're supposed to understand from that. And what's interesting is a lot of theologians have taken a position like that where they'll say, well, you know, we just can't possibly understand what God is relaying to us. And and there seems, on the surface, there seems to be a wonderful act of humility to think, well, God is so much higher and we're so much less. But if you think about what they're really saying, they're saying God isn't capable of communicating to us. So really, in a sense, that's a shot at God, isn't it?
In one respect, and let me say, I do not believe that Dr. Carson is trying to make a shot at God.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he loves the Lord Jesus, and he loves his Savior. He loves his Creator. So there's no doubt about that. And in fact, I would also say that Dr. Carson very much holds in high esteem the doctrines of biblical authority, inerrancy, and infallibility, but I believe he is being inconsistent with those doctrines because he is not thinking through on this issue properly the doctrine of biblical clarity.
All right, well, let's move forward a little bit here, Steve. I think that's an excellent example, and I think you're right. I think people need to understand that we're not, when we quote some of these people, we're not questioning their faith. We're not questioning their salvation, their dedication, their mm-hmm. devotion to the Lord.
Or our esteem for them, by the way, because, you
right.
know, he has written a book called A Spiritual Reformation, which is one of my favorite books in the world about prayer, you know.
And he's written on inerrancy and...
yeah, all of those sorts of things.
Yep. I think he's written on just about everything.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Let me ask you this question, because we've been talking about clarity of Scripture or perspicuity.
Right.
Is there even a biblical basis for this, or is this something that we've just come up with to promote our own positions?
Absolutely, there is. And I think we should look at what the Bible says. Let me quote a few verses for you. Firstly, Paul. The Apostle Paul, who would ever think about questioning the Apostle Paul, right? But what does the Apostle Paul do when he comes and preaches? He says to these people called the Bereans, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. In other words, hey, you're going to not just accept my words, my human words, you're going to go to Scriptures because the Scriptures are clear and they're going to shine on whether my words are right or not. So you see statements like this in Scripture. Or let's talk about Timothy, for instance. Paul wrote to Timothy and he says, from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy was reminded by Paul, hey, the Scriptures were there and you could understand them as a child and you were brought up through them. So they had clarity even for you as a child to understand the truth.
But what's interesting in that passage is shortly after that, what does Paul tell Timothy? To study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed but rightly dividing the word of truth.
So amen.
In the context of saying, yeah, a young person can understand it, there's also, but study because you can go so much deeper. Can you speak to that just for a moment?
Well, you can because, here's the thing. Some people say, oh, if you're talking about biblical clarity, we don't need teachers anymore, for instance, because everybody can just read the scriptures like a little child and understand them. And yes, I do agree that people can read the scriptures as a little child and understand them. But let's think about the gospel for one second. Is the gospel very clear so that even a child can understand it? And the answer is yes. I mean, we can understand that we're sinners, that we need a savior, that Jesus came and paid the price for us on the cross, that he rose again, that if we come to him in repentance and faith, we can be saved. There is a great message that is easy to understand for even children. And yet, if we dig into that gospel richness, you dig into the riches of grace in the gospel, hope, God's wrath being poured out, all of those different aspects of the gospel message, they will never get to the end of the depth of the riches that is in the gospel. And so that is why Ephesians 4 tells us in verse 11 and onwards, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these people who are there to equip us, they should be starting with the premise of biblical clarity and teaching us the depth of that truth.
Amen. Let me ask you a question about a man that we've talked about before, Dr. Hugh Ross. He likes to say that nature can be likened to a 67th book of the Bible, and the views that he promotes and how he understands Genesis or how he teaches the book of Genesis. Do you think that he views Genesis as being clear in the sense that you need the Big Bang, you need the modern views on astronomy and everything just to understand what Genesis is saying?
Actually, no. And here's the problem. He doesn't start with the clarity of Scripture as he's looking at the world. What Hugh Ross does is he almost says that there is a doctrine of natural perspicuity. That's what he's almost saying. He's saying you start and you look at nature, for want of a better term, and evaluate what you can get out of that, and then see how that fits with Scripture. And if it doesn't fit with Scripture, then you put what you have understood by nature and you put it into Scripture. We have to understand something. There is no perspicuity for us looking at this creation without the Bible, without the doctrine of perspicuity in Scripture. And the reason is that we have corrupt minds, looking at a corrupt world, led by corrupt hearts. Where's the clarity in that? We need the clarity of Scripture to help us understand what we're looking at.
I think that's a fantastic point. Let me ask you real quickly here. How has this doctrine played out in the church historically?
Yeah, you know, there has been a lot of issues with perspicuity over the ages. Let me just quickly say that Martin Luther had a huge problem with the doctrine of perspicuity in his time, where the Catholic Church was saying people couldn't own their own Bibles because they had to understand them through the priests, which was saying the Bible isn't clear, the priest is. As a result, people actually started to deny the Word of God. And as a result of denying the Word of God, being frightened even to take up the Word of God because they thought they couldn't understand it, Martin Luther makes this quote: "It is with such phantasmagoria," which means bizarre illusion, "it's with a bizarre illusion Satan has frightened men away from reading the sacred writ and has made holy Scripture contemptible." If Scripture isn't clear, if we can't have our own translation of the Bible in front of us and understand it in our own language and know it to be true and trust it, that needs to be our starting point, then it becomes contemptible.
That's a sad state, and that's what's happened in so many places throughout history when the Word of God is taken away from people and they're not able to have a copy for themselves. Steve, I wish we had more time to talk about this important issue, the perspicuity of Scripture or the clarity of Scripture. God has given us His Word in a way that we can understand it, and He expects us to study it and to know it and to love it. And Steve, thank you for joining us today.
If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.